See, the key of all this is Dad says you can't go out. We go, why? To get him in the dialogue. And he stops the dialogue by saying, because I said so. You know what that is? Sort of carries chasing him, doesn't it? You're not going past that door. You open that door, whack. And then what do? We can't talk to Dad anymore. There's only one, by the way, the secret of all this. There's only one Father, one Son, one Holy Spirit, one Word, and one you. It's only one you. Again, stand before God, day of judgment. You don't care about anybody else. One you. And I still contend you cannot really love anybody else until you understand that. Because you see, our love, you don't love the people you say you love. You don't love your spouse. You love the dopamine they stimulate. This will kill you. It'll destroy you. The child's not in love with the toy. They're in love with the dopamine it stimulates. That's why the preacher said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Paul says, who can deliver me from this body of death? And he gives us the answer, Jesus Christ. Because see, Jesus comes to redeem that which is a filthy rag, a stench, not even worth the effort. No dopamine there. To redeem us from the Father's wrath upon us. See, that's God's love, not our love. Because our love would be, zap them. God's love is, I love them. Different. Spirit. God gives us joy, what? Unspeakable. Not here. Can't explain it to anybody. Peace. Not here. Can't. Peace that transcends understanding. Joy. You can't explain. It's from up here. That's why the Father sends the Son. The Son obeys the Father to death. The Father raises the Son from the grave. And the Father, Son send the Holy Spirit that we might understand the Father and the Son. The one. One in Him. How do you get into the sheepfold? Through the door. Christ. You know what the hedge around it is? The law of God. It'll kill you. It's the purpose of the law. It's just to kill you. The only way to get around that law is through Christ. You're not really getting around it. You're getting through it. Through the wall. The Father gives us the law. The Son redeems us from the Father's wrath for breaking it. Isn't that a beautiful order? And that's, the gospel is really Jesus saying, I want you to meet my Father. I want you to know my Father. I want you to know my Father's love for you. See? And this whole system has to get rid of that. It's Satan, right? I want you to meet. That's what Jesus was doing with the devil. Hey, Dad said, your Creator said, see? If you look at it that way. And Satan couldn't only handle it three times. He was gone. But Satan gets Eve to share what? Well, there's more than one of me. There's two of me. There's two of you. Remember, dialectic needs two? I can talk to you, and you can talk to me. So there's I, me. But I can talk to who else? Myself. Ah, there's two. You can talk to yourself. But I can't talk to yourself. And you can't talk to myself. But I can talk to myself. And so if Dad says, you can't go out, and I go, why? Because I'm talking to him, get him into dialogue. And he won't go here, the dialectic. So then he says, because I said so, that stops this dialogue. So I talk to myself. Now I've got dialogue. And self will always agree with this direction. Always. That's why the Bible says, humble yourself, deny yourself. Traditional education with self-control, self-discipline. Why did God put Israel in the desert? Why do you take a drug addict off the drug? Put him in a room. Separate. Why are you chasing your child? To get him off the drug. God, now how do you get out of this? I mean, everywhere you turn today is drug. You know, TV is just out there, you know, give you drug at first. Internet, give you drug at first. Get you hooked. You'll be paying your soul for it down the road. You'll be stealing, doing whatever it takes. Lying. Accepting lies. Good presentation the other day, James. You know, lovers, they will love a lie. Cast into hell. Why? They love to lie. Because a lie will always give you this. Right here. Man. And so what happened then is that she says, for God has said that, Maslow said we have to create an environment of oddiness. So you're talking to yourself. Well, how to be able to go out? I ought to this, ought to that. You can't have an ought without an ought. You can't be sitting here tonight going, well, I ought to be able to go do something if somebody hasn't told you you couldn't do it. Doesn't make any sense. Well, I ought to be able to go out. Well, who told you you couldn't? Well, nobody. Well, excuse me, you little nuts. You can't have an ought without an ought. Oh, genius, isn't it? These are naughty people. These are oughty people. Maslow said, after oughtiness. And then that's not enough because now you're still subject. You've got a guilty conscience. You know, well, I'll be able to go out, but Dad will get a hold of me, so I can't. That's confusion. That's tension. So I've got to get you in a room and get you to thought. Thought will deliver your ought so you can negate the not. That follow sense? Does that make sense? So we've got a whole nation, a whole world of thinkers. And look what happened to Eve. For God has said, thou shalt not eat of it, nor, what? Touch it. Every time she's going by the tree, there's the ought. I oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda. Got her ought. All I have to do is get your legislators ought. All I have to do is get your ministers ought. You know what the ought in you is? Is the wolf. The ought in your minister is ought. Excuse me, the wolf in your minister is ought. The wolf in sheepskin. Ministers say, well, I ought to have more people in the church. That's a wolf. You preach and teach the word of God, and the Lord adds to the church daily. The moment I go ought, I'm going lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. That's where the church is taking polls and surveys and feasibility studies. Men's opinions. No, the word of God ministers to preach and teach the word of God as is, as given. And let the Holy Spirit do His work. Boy, we can't do that because I lost Joe last week and Fred's going to go this week. Well, whose church is it? See, we changed it. Turn it around. And language. All we had to do is change the language. We got a new church. The harlot. The harlot church. What does the Bible say? Come out of her, harlot. And so E says, nor touch it. There's the odd. I ought to be able to touch it. Because she's going by all these trees and those are fine. Then there's the cannot tree. She sees it, and there's the dopamine. I ought to be able to. Nor touch it, lest ye die. She does say the not, right? And then Satan says, oh, you won't die. And Eve goes, will too. Satan says, will not. And Eve says, will too. Is that what happened? Will not, will too, will not, will too. No. No. Once her ought came out, even though she says not, when Satan says you won't die, this is God right here. Cannot, right? Thou shalt not. The moment the ought comes out, she's godless. She's godless. She's a materialist. She's a first materialist. Dialectic materialism. Because she says, she looks at the tree as good, right? Oh, it's good for food. She's absolutely right. Materially, it was good for food. Pleasing to the eyes. This is dopamine good. Pleasing is dopamine. Pleasing to the eyes, right here. Desirous to make one wise. If I can control the environment, I can guarantee the dopamine. That's all she's got. Lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. All of the world. She's a first environmentalist. She's first tree hugger. Serious. See, I come by your property. I learned this process, and you got those trees. And every time I go by, I get dopamine rush off of them. And you got to cut one of those trees or a few of them because you got to pay some bills. You don't dare cut those trees because you're going to interfere with my drug. See, you pay taxes. You know how much property you own? You don't own any property. Don't pay your taxes for 3 years and find out how much property you don't own. First 100 years in this nation, there wasn't property tax. Nebraska was the last state that incorporated property tax, 1933. We are fools. Because even one-tenth of... What was the Boston Tea Party? It was all about, what, one-tenth of a penny? And you know what they threw in the bay? Why'd they throw tea in the bay? What's tea? Dopamine. You know why they threw the tea in the bay? It wasn't to bankrupt that guy. That was $1 million worth of tea. That company never recovered. It was to keep the colonists from here because the colonists were hooked on the dopamine and they had to take the drug away from them. Now, who's going to take the drug away from us? Government's going to make sure everybody's got. You know, well, okay, we'll feed you. We'll take care of your health. and we'll provide a job. And you go, well, why should I work if you're going to feed me and take care of my health? Hello? Buy and sell your souls for the drug, for the dopamine. That's all it's all about. And by the way, we get the word dope from dopamine. Lovers of pleasure. Now, not, God's not against this. He gave it to us that we enjoy his creation. But lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So Eve now is thinker, and she's over here. She's justifying relationship with what? The world. Adam, by the way, was first humanist. You know, God told Adam, rule, right? Rule, rule. Because ruling is not based on feelings. Right? There are times you rule and it's nobody's liking you at all. But you do what's right. This is right and that's not. And you just, you keep enduring. See, enduring is like changing diapers, not a dopamine moment. You just keep doing what's right, no matter what anybody says about you or what anybody thinks about you. On the day of judgment, it will not matter what anybody thinks about you or what anybody says about you. See, why are you and I? We are. We are concerned about how people feel about us and what they... It's a big part of our life. Alienation is the most painful experience in life. Jesus despised the shame of the cross. What was that? Total alienation. They put you on a cross because they don't want you around and you love them. Deny yourself, first of all. You got to take care of this personally. And then pick up your cross. That's what everybody else does to you. You don't put yourself on a cross. You come in and share the truth and do it in love, and all your friends put you on the cross. The cross is rejection. You're of no worth to us. We love you if you just shut up. If you just go away with whatever, you know, come on around and share shallow. Be shallow, but don't get deep. No, we want truth, but not that much truth. Don't bring truth into my life if it's going to kill me. But what's the Bible say? Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Dying to yourself daily. There's some teaching out there that says God hasn't done anything without a man. You stand before God on the day of judgment, you say, you couldn't have done it without me. You talk about a bug zapper, I want to be in another universe when that goes off. You know what? God can use you when you're dead. Only when you're dead. Because he gets the glory, right? That's what it's all about. He gets the glory. That's why the elders will receive crowns. And what do? Give it back. Because he's the glory. He's the glory. It's a person of Christ. Now, you can learn all this stuff and go academic on it. You're just, you know, ever learning, never able to understand. Because true understanding is coming to know the person of Christ. He fulfills it. He completes it. We all think, well, that's religion over here, and we got academics and politics over here. No, they are one and the same. And if the Marxists understood it, what's wrong with us? What's wrong with the church? Because as education goes, the church goes. Because everybody goes through the education system. That's why Marx said the educator themselves must be educated. And so these guys came in the 50s and hooked us on Karl Marx and Sigmund Freud, whose only agenda was to destroy the father in us. The father's authority. So you can read the Word of God, but you will read it with, how do you feel, what do you think? No longer it is written by faith. And so Eve does the process, and then you look at what happened. They became socialists. You can always tell a socialist, because it's never their fault. Look at Adam. Well, it's not my fault. It's this woman's fault. By the way, God says, no, I don't blame the women for what's happened to this nation. I blame the men. Men have abdicated the office of authority. You know, all these religious or these organizations that are run by women, I'm going to be hard here. All these organizations run by women go nowhere. They come, as you're saying, they just come and prattle, get all that energy gone, and they go home. They follow men. They follow, you know, they follow people. You get men together. That's what these guys do. You get men together that go to war. Because men go to war, women don't. Because women will go to the fiend. Now, men do this. It's interesting. Men, by the way, go into debt with two or three big tickets. Women will incrementally themselves, you know, because women are security oriented. Men aren't. Men are just Go to war. Get the thing. Get the project done. You know, buy the big boat, whatever. Just, to, you know, they go buy big ticket stuff. The women are relationship oriented. They're feelings based. They're a little more careful. Stock market, they actually say women are a little more successful than the men because they weigh it out a little bit, hoping. But what happens is that if you can get, and this was their secret, is the father and the mother, or the husband and a wife, has to be in order. Husbands rule. God said Adam rule. Notice when God confronted Cain, God says, sin lies at the door and you will what over it? Rule. That's how God sees it. Then elders in the church, what? They must rule their homes well. So God only sees ruling. I mean, if you got the truth, that's what you do. You just rule. This is right, that's not. Here's the command and here's chastening. But the women are feelings based. Now, the desire of the heart of the wife is to the husband. Because if the desire is to herself or to her children, the husband can't rule. That's pretty neat. That's why Satan went to Eve. He didn't go to Adam. Went to Eve. What happened? He couldn't get... Remember the prophet went out to curse Israel? Three times he couldn't curse it. But he had a solution. Just wait until Israel, you know, come off that desert. By the way, how many succeeded from the first generation? Just two. Wasn't very good. didn't get them off the dopamine very well, did it? And then look at the kids coming in. Just put some women there. All these guys, Eric Fromm and these guys knew that Jerome Bruner writes about the workplace. Used to be the old workplace, it was men. And in a men's workplace, do the job right or there's the door. This is right, that is not. Don't care how you feel or what you think. I really do, but it's not going to interfere. We got to get the job done. But Jerome Bruner said, we got to bring the women in, because when you bring the women into the workplace, it goes to dialogue. How do you feel? What do you think? It was all about. And then, by the way, the husband, if he's in that patriarchal environment, he'll carry that back home. My mom taught she could not marry. Because if she was married to her husband, then that would change the dynamics of the classroom. She was, in essence, under the authority of the men in that community. We don't even understand what we've lost. And the reason, the way things functioned the way they did. But these guys came and said, okay, we're going to put the women in the workplace. And when you put the women in the workplace, by the way, men can't wait to go to work now because of the dopamine. Homosexuals, by the way, said they could never be behind the pulpit if it wasn't for women behind the pulpit. Because no woman, I've listened to them, no woman behind the pulpit can prevent themselves from mocking their husband. They all do. See, it destroys. And I know churches where women have come in, no more than the men, and teach it, and they did change the whole church. It's all changed. It goes matriarch. There's consequence. I mean, God has given us some sound wisdom. Paul's called, you know, an old fogey or whatever, you know, chauvinist pig or whatever you want to call it. But he's not coming up with this. This is God. Our Heavenly Father created us and he gave us the conditions to live by. We as a nation have rejected it. We've rejected God. You sow, you reap. And we are now a nation of abomination. Because we've rejected the very form. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the earth. That the children might be blessed. Are children blessed? No, they're not blessed. See, they're getting whatever they want, because all the commercials are aimed to children. Everything's over here now. It's no longer what dad. Because I remember as a child, I went in a store and a clerk turned to my dad. He had some candy. He turned to my dad and said, can I give this candy to your son? He went the right way. Now, it's just put it out there. And now they're going to take it and stand in front of dad. I want my candy and have a fit. And if the dad doesn't give him the candy, then the part, you know, Child Protective Service is going to be knocking on your door because you didn't give your child the dopamine. And if you go back to Freud, remember the husband or the mother and the children are having an incestual relationship. If the father comes in and prevents that, because Freud said it's all children are sexually active, I call Child Protective Services pedophiles. Because they're getting dopamine liberating your child. Remember, you're doing your homework, it's boring, you're doing what dad says, it's boring, and then playtime comes and you can head to the door. That's all they're wanting. They're liberating every child from the parent's authority and they're getting that dopamine rush. That's what a pedophile does. Freud said you don't have to sexually or physically do it. It's the sensuous experience of the person. So I read Get Eros and Civilization. I don't mind reading this stuff because I can have a good Bible study, because they don't bring theology in. They're just plain blatant. Marx in Holy Family has one sentence you can lead people to the Lord with. Now, why would Marx do that? You have to identify clearly what it is you want to destroy. So I can read their stuff. I can have a good Bible study reading their stuff. I can't read theology stuff because they'll give you actually good scripture and your spirit is rejoicing, and then they'll throw this stuff in, and then it's grieving. It's just confusion. But I can read this because this is clear. Out to kill you. And what is it? Gain the world and lose your soul. See, this is gaining the world, the pleasures. This is where we're going. I mean, everything in our society, how this works in the Politburo system, you had to have the Soviet first. That's the diverse group. Now, we would say diverse, sure, fine. I mean, we're all diverse. I mean, we all come in here with different, positions on things. But I have to actually diverse as far as paradigms are concerned. We just think, well, you'd be wrong and I'm right, or I'm right and you're wrong, whatever. But I have to make sure that there is people in here that are just feelings driven, and then there are the thinkers over here who are actually manipulators. You know what you do with natural resource? The only thing you can do with a natural resource that makes it worthwhile is manipulate it, right? If it's not manipulatable, it's worthless, right? If you can't change it into something you want to produce, it's just whatever it is and that's all. So you ever heard the term human resource? If I can't manipulate you, if you're over here, you're worthless. I care about you. So I'm going to ask you odds and deliver you from that rigidity that prevents you from being at one with the world. Now, going with the flow, changing ability. So I have to have the diverse group. Hilda Taba, back in 1949, writes in Adolescent Society, Adolescent Character and Development, that we must bring deviancy into the classroom. Where are we today? I was just the other day, I was at a meeting, and in the workplace, they've actually put in his, her, and it bathrooms. School. In Orange County, California, they're actually allowing you to bring in the King James into the school. Wow, that's neat. The Christians are going to be thrilled. Well, you know what they're going to do? They're going to dialogue Calvinism versus Arminianism. You know what that's going to be? Dialogue! They're not going to study the Word of God. They're going to learn the Word of God is conflicting, confusing, so let's just put it aside and go with the flow. But you have to have a diverse group. They have to dialogue. No father. I hope if I get anything across, there is no father's authority. There is no contrition, no repentance. No. If I asked you, or I said, well, I don't feel like you should go out, or I don't think you should go out, I can't chasten you. If you let me chasten you, you'd be, if you're a child, I would be a sadist and you'd be a masochist. But only if I say you cannot go out. See? And so you have to have the dialogue. The dialogue frees us from God. That's why I said, I've had ministers yell at me for 45 minutes. We have to dialogue. And my answer is, you love sin. Sin is your foundation. No righteousness in dialogue. None. You're godless. Lover of the world. You can serve who? Mammon or God. One or the other. And dialogue is pure mammon. Dialogue to a consensus. A feeling of oneness. We're all one. Cosmic. Gaia. Cosmic force. Eastern religion. All the same. This is all, by the way, Belial. Bible. Belial is dialectic. Dialogue to consensus over social issues. Social is community, you know, relations, family, whatever. In a facilitated meeting, because you don't do it naturally. You need Satan. Adam and Eve would never sin if a master facilitator hadn't shown up. Every minister who comes in and says, I'm going to facilitate change in the church, he has only one platform, what Satan did in Genesis 3, 1 through 6. That's his only platform. He has no other. Because God doesn't facilitate change. He's out to kill you. Facilitation means make change easy. He wants you dead to the flesh and alive in the spirit. One or the other, see. We can merge the two. Because we say spirit is the unity that we experience. Well, where's unity in the Bible? What does the Bible say about unity? Doctrine. But now, yeah. Since I'm thinking about it, you know, believers are leaving the church. But they're not leaving the church because they've lost their faith. They're leaving the church because the church has left the faith. And then they meet in their homes and the church follows them if they care. And they'll say, well, you're abandoning or forsaking, you know, you're forsaking the assembly yourself together. Well, that's a lie because, see, the church has forsaken the assembly itself together with believers. Turns around, right? Makes you feel a little guilty that you're out there, you know, sheep are scattered. And now the sheep are the problem. They're the ones who are the messed up ones. No, they're just seeking the truth. Who is truth? Jesus. Not mingled with philosophy. Not mingled with psychology. Not mingled with sociology or the wisdom of men. And so you have to have the facilitator to a predetermined outcome. What's the outcome? Is that we do this process. That's a group grade in your local classrooms. Youth group. Go attend some of these churches, sit in a youth group. How do you feel? What do you think? Dialogue and consensus. Here. Go down to town hall meeting, watch it. Same process. See, go to the church board meeting, same process. You know what this is? You know why 30 years ago I said we can't be this stupid? Talking to my TV. That's a Soviet. California, 1921, head of the superintendent of education system says, why are we allowing pupil Soviets in our classrooms? 1921. There were some people already saw this.